Hey, what's going on? Happy Tuesday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, I talked with Mitch, aka Reds in 4, about some of the more advanced metrics that he looks at for pitching and the new StatCast metric, bat speed, and how that relates to the Reds. Always a good time talking with Mitch. I think you'll enjoy that conversation. Before we get to that, let me tell you, of course, about our proud sponsor, and that is, of course, Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. Well, the Reds got a much-needed day off on Monday. Here's what happened around the NL Central. The Brewers, they lost 3-2 to the Marlins in 10 innings. The Marlins tied the game with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and then Josh Bell hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th. The Cardinals, they beat the Orioles 6-3. Cubs and Pirates were both off, so your NL Central standings on Tuesday morning: Brewers at 27-20, Cubs 26-22, Pirates 22-26, Cardinals 21-26, and the Reds 19-28, 8 games back. The Padres, who the Reds will see tonight, they split a doubleheader on Monday, so the Reds remain 4.5 back in the NL wild card race. All right, well, here is myself and Mitch, aka Reds in 4. Stick around at the end, I'll tell you about the Arizona Complex League's Reds, a couple cool things out there, some other Reds minor league news and notes, and then we'll also preview the Reds series against the Padres. All right, I'm pleased to be joined now by Mitch. You know him as Reds in 4 on Twitter. It is great to have Mitch on the program. Obviously, tough times overall for our beloved Reds. So I thought this might be a good time just to kind of look at things a little more individually. And Mitch is my guy when it comes to a lot of the advanced analytics that are even a little bit above my pay grade. So Mitch, how are we doing, my friend?
You know, personally doing well. My Reds fandom is hurting a little bit. I wish I could be making a return during brighter times, but, you know, hopefully we can run through a few things here today that leave folks, you know, going into this next series a little bit more optimistically than, you know, looking at their record would lead you to believe. But yeah, you know, I'm going to be watching the games anyway, so I'm here.
Yeah, I watched just about every game in 2022, so I feel like at that point you're pretty well locked in. Mitch, I promise we'll have you back on during brighter times as well, for sure. But Mitch, I wanted to kind of get your pulse on some of the more advanced pitching analytics. I know this has been something that you've been really passionate about. You do an incredible job kind of breaking that down for everyone on the old Twitter app. You love to use Stuff Plus. I don't know if there's any other new advancements in the pitching advanced analytics community, but tell everyone that maybe hasn't heard one of our podcasts before a quick recap of exactly what is Stuff Plus and what do you kind of look at in terms of evaluating pitchers outside of just the traditional ERA and things like that.
Yeah. So Stuff Plus, I view as kind of the process that a pitcher takes to arrive at their ERA or to arrive at the results that they get with a hitter. And so what Stuff Plus does is it takes all the kind of intrinsic qualities of a pitch. So it looks at like a pitch's velocity, how much it breaks, what the pitch looks like compared to a pitcher's primary fastball. And it gets into all kinds of nitty gritty details that even blow my mind. But what that does in the end is it kind of takes everything together and gives each individual pitch in a pitcher's arsenal a grade, with 100 being average and standard deviations of about 10 to 15 for each grade going up. So like 100's average, 115 is above average. Anything above that, you're looking at a truly elite pitch. And what we've been able to do these past couple of seasons that I enjoy, that I look into on my Twitter account, is monitoring the Reds pitchers' Stuff Plus in each of their outings. That way we can say, you know, a pitcher may have struggled today, but underneath the hood, the qualities of his pitches look good. He was executing well. His velocity was where we expect. And it can kind of lead you to believe, you know, this pitcher is going to be all right. These are just trying times. He had a little bad luck. Or it could be an indicator that a pitcher may be struggling or hurt, or there may be something going on underneath the surface. So I find it fascinating. It's become like my thing on Twitter, just monitoring it. And I've learned a ton just monitoring it day to day as well. You learn that all these guys are in the big leagues for a reason. Everybody has a pitch or multiple pitches or a way that they get hitters out. And just learning about that this whole time has been just really, really fascinating.
All right. So this season, who are some guys that are really standing out to you?
So when you think about Stuff Plus, it's actually, they have it kind of broken off into sections where you're either a pitcher is a high stuff pitcher. So that's like your Hunter Greens, your Lucas Sims, your guys that, you know, you kind of, they overpower hitters. Their pitches are what you'd call nasty. They get a lot of strikeouts. And then some pitchers are graded for their location plus or their execution. And those are pitchers who are more crafty and deceptive. They use the right pitches and the right counts. Their velocity may not overwhelm you, but they just know how to pitch, for lack of a better way to put it. So that's like your Nick Martinez, your Brent Suter, a little bit of your Sam Moll, maybe a little bit of Andrew Abbott in there too. But I mean, as far as standouts this year, if we're just kind of running down from the top, Hunter Green is kind of the poster child for Stuff Plus. His location's been a little bit down from where it usually is this year, but he's made significant strides with his four-seam fastball this season. His slider's always graded out well. And actually, his new splitter and his curveball that he's added grade out well, too. So we're looking at like a legit four pitch mix with Hunter Green. It's kind of a question of whether he can command the splitter and the curveball, but they are MLB-quality pitches, which is really nice to see. In addition to that, I mean, they're, again, the names you expect. Lucas Sims is up there. Nick Lodolo is up there. Fernando Cruz breaks the model. He's kind of fascinating. His four-seam fastball is pretty average. His cutter's a little below average. And his splitter is potentially the best pitch in baseball in terms of Stuff Plus. It's, I said earlier, 100 is average, 115 is above average. His splitter is a 167 Stuff Plus. So that is, it's a true outlier in the game today. But all those guys individually, they're just, it's really fun to watch them kind of work and go about their craft in each outing. So been really cool monitoring them this year.
And the Reds overall, if I'm understanding these metrics correctly, I mean, almost all of their pitchers grade out above average. Outside of Buck Farmer is really the only one way down. And what do you make of a guy like Buck Farmer? Because last year he was also down. I think the year before that he was just slightly above average. Is he an outlier?
Yeah, Buck is interesting to me. I've kind of affectionately tabbed him a backwards pitching Buck. And what I mean by that is his two fastballs do not grade well by the model. And you kind of watch him and you get that impression too. He kind of tops out at 94, 95. He's not overpowering hitters with his fastball. But his changeup and his slider are legitimately good big league pitches. And what that does is he can rely on those two more. It's pitching backwards, pitching with your secondaries first. But you know, that may not always equate to a perfect stuff grade, especially when your fastballs are kind of grading as low as his are. But he has a plan of attack for hitters, and it's worked for the better part of this year, and it worked for a good amount of last year as well. So there are just different ways that pitchers can make a living in the league. It's pretty cool stuff.
Nick Martinez looks really good. He's got plus in the stuff plus and in the location.
Yeah, Nick Martinez is my guy. If there's, you know, like they say, like someone's like your favorite basketball player's favorite basketball player, or your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Like Nick Martinez is like your favorite pitcher's favorite pitcher. He has six legitimate big league pitches. He locates all of them really well. Some of his fastballs aren't, you know, the greatest pitch in the MLB, but they're all useful pitches. His changeup is legitimately filthy, and his breaking pitches move well as well. So I really enjoy watching the guy kind of go about it on the mound. There are times where I do think, you know, he runs up against a buzzsaw of a lineup and his lack of a fastball, they can get him there. But it's kind of like watching the Harlem Globetrotters play basketball. Like, you don't, I don't know if it's always going to be successful if you put it in the pro game, but I just really enjoy watching them go about it.
And not to put you on the spot here, I know there's been a lot of talk about the Reds' rival in Pittsburgh and, of course, Paul Skeens. But there's another guy that is absolutely blowing off the readings in Jared Jones. You know, the Reds pretty fortunate they haven't faced the Pirates. Hopefully he has an innings cap at some point this year. But this guy has really incredible stuff.
I keep saying it on Twitter, the Pirates are up to something over there with their pitching development. Jared Jones, I don't know where this came. I mean, I kind of know where it came from, but the leap that he's taken this year is just incredible. He always graded well. We have access to some Stuff Plus data for AAA pitchers, and he was pretty well above average. That's really good for a AAA pitcher. He was about above average last year. But his fastball is one of the best in all of the big leagues suddenly, and his breaking pitches look amazing. And he's done all of this while increasing his command. So he's walking fewer hitters than he ever has before in his professional career, too. So, you know, hats off to the Pirates for a huge development win. Props to Jared Jones and anyone who got him on their fantasy teams early. You're probably reaping the rewards there. And then Skeens is his own. That guy. He is that splinker, or whatever you want to call his splitter, 96-mile-per-hour splitter that he throws. It's just a truly one-of-one pitch in baseball. Maybe Yohan Duran throws something similar. His fastball doesn't grade as well as you would think for a 100-mile-per-hour pitch, but it also does its job, works effectively, and is 100 miles per hour, so it's going to be effective. But really, I mean, the underrated thing with Skeens is his command and all of his secondaries. He's just – I got dunked on for some old Skeens takes that I had that I thought people were out ahead of their skis on him in the draft, but he's so much more refined than I expected. He's just – he's a legitimately good, just – really good pitcher.
Well, Mitch, I once said the Reds should extend Scooter Gennett, so we've all taken our L's at some point. He was out of the league like 6 months later. The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature, and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay. I want to ask you about one of the new phenomenons that I see taking over the new StatCast metric. I'm assuming it's not new, but it's new to the public, and bat speed. I haven't really had a lot of time to really just dive into this and really get a great understanding. So explain to me a little bit, what is this and how useful is this tool?
You know, I'll preface this by saying I'm by no means an expert. So we're going to have like the less blind leading the blind here, but you know, I'll be a decent guide. But basically, what we picked up with bat speed is, like you said, this data just became accessible to the public. MLB front offices have had access to this data for years. So anything we're kind of seeing here, the trends that we're noticing have probably already been kind of scooped up and noticed in the game as it's kind of gone on. But this is really the first time the public's had access to this kind of data. So if you go to Baseball Savant, where it's located on the bat tracking leaderboards, you'll see all kinds of different metrics. Obviously, you know, some of them might scramble your brain trying to figure them out right away. But the core ones that I really focus on are obviously number one, your average bat speed. And you can go in there, you can sort by average bat speed and kind of make your takeaways there as you might feel. But in addition to that, you have to consider a hitter's swing length. And then the metrics that Savannah's kind of came up with, they refer to a squared up percentage, which in my opinion is better phrased as exit velocity efficiency. So how hard are you hitting the ball compared to how much potential you had to hit the ball? So someone like Luis Arraez on the Padres, he's very efficient with his X velocity. When he has a very slow swing, but when he swings, he gets the absolute most out of his swings, whenever he does. Someone like O'Neill Cruz isn't a great example, but he swings and misses a decent amount. He would have kind of a lower squared up rate than a Luis Arraez does, or Ellie swinging right hand swings pretty hard, doesn't get that ton of that high of EVs on that side. And then in addition to that, there's something that they refer to as blast rate. It is a little hard to kind of comprehend right away, but think of it as a perfect combination of bat speed and squared up percentage. They've kind of calculated the ideal combination of those two metrics, and whenever a hitter achieves that, they refer to that as a blast. In my opinion, it's all a little bit confusing because you have blasts, you have squared ups, you also have barrel percentages, you have sweet spot percentages, and they all mean drastically different things. But it's an interesting metric. And when we look at the Reds, I mean, Ellie obviously leads in swing speed. He leads in blast rate when he swings left-handed. But number two is Tyler Stevenson, which is really interesting and kind of ties out with the advancements that we've seen him take this year. So I rambled a little bit there, Nick. You can reel it back a little bit. Pull me in a little.
So I see Spencer Steer right in the middle of that axis. Yeah. Is that something that gives you a little more hope that this, you know, slump is more of – it has felt like he's had a lot of tough luck during this slump. He's had some bad at-bats of late, but it also feels like – he squared the ball up quite a bit. It just was right at someone.
Yeah, he literally is in the intersection of average swing speed and average blasts. So he is like, he's literally at league average right now. And I don't think Spencer Steer's a league average player. Like we've seen what he looks like when he gets hot. And even in this slump, he's not striking out a lot. He is making a lot of contact. He's still walking. I would be surprised if this was a prolonged slump that lasted much longer than we've already seen. I mean, do you know how many people were saying that he was a slump-proof player at the beginning of the year? And I feel like we all kind of jinxed him talking about him that way. But no, I mean, the Reds as a whole aren't the most bat speed-oriented team when you really look at them kind of laid out on an axis. It's really Ellie and Will Benson are the only players that are consistently above average in swing speed. Steer and Stevenson are pretty close. CES was up there before he was hurt. But, I mean, all in all, their hitters, I think, are underperforming what it looks like they should be under the hood when you look at these metrics. And I don't think that's crazy news to everybody. I don't think everybody thinks these are, you know, 150 batting hitters. But I do think there are signs for encouragement there.
And lastly, the guy that I guess would be the Reds' very poor man equivalent of Luis Arraez is Jaber Candelario. I see him on that side of the StatCast backtracking board.
Jaber's funny, and when you really dive into this stuff, you learn a lot about hitters and their approaches and how they kind of decide how they're going to swing. So if you can split out these bat speeds by handedness, and when you look at Jaber, from the right side, his swing speed is maybe just a little below average, and lately it's almost been above average swing speed when he's on the right side. When he's on the left side, that's when he's doing that kind of Luis Arraez approach, where he's kind of just trying to – he's swinging softer, but he's trying to get the most out of his contact. So he's really kind of being a singles hitter from the left side, and he's trying to hit for more power from the right side. And the really cool thing is when you go in and look at his career splits, that is – what the numbers say as well. So there's this stuff it's not junk science when you really get down into it and start looking at the results of these players based on their swing speeds. That's what's been the most fascinating thing is they're definitely grounded in reality. So it's interesting to see this in a new light.
When you see stats like this that kind of pop up that we now know has been accessible to front offices for a while, what does it make you think about? What other things do they have that we don't have that's out there?
It's, you know, there's, I mean, obviously, I think the biggest thing that orgs have that we obviously don't have access to is just day-to-day access to these players and how they operate in the mental side of things. Like the mental scouting reports that you get on players, I think that's invaluable when it comes to especially scouting outside your org, the intel that you can collect there and then what you know about these guys individually. I think that's just as, if not more important than monitoring how fast a guy's swinging day to day, because, I mean, frankly, that probably feeds into why he may or may not be swinging hard day to day. So, I mean, that's number one. But all of the little, I mean, we just now got access to bat speed. There's been talks of like monitoring the spin of the baseball as it comes off the bat to determine who's hitting with top speed, who's hitting with more backspin, who's getting like, I forget what it's called, like flight efficiency out of the baseball, which I'm sure, you know, that's your Yordan Alvarez and Juan Soto, your best hitters in the game are good at doing that. I'm sure the most advanced teams probably are there and beyond. And then in terms of pitching, mechanically, I think they can pick up on the tiniest little tweaks. What we've seen with teams picking up on pitchers tipping, I think goes into self-scouting as well, where they can pick that up too. So, no, I mean, you know, I don't want to assume that everybody's running leaps and bounds around everybody. You know, like, you know, the White Sox are going to set the loss record this year, so maybe they're not as inclined analytically. But I do think we're just scraping the surface with a lot of this stuff. And I just, from following around on Twitter every day, I learn more about this stuff. I learned that takes I put out confidently, hot takes a week ago, are just dead wrong, and I didn't think about them with enough nuance or in the right light. So it's fascinating, and it's just fun stuff. So if anyone's interested in this stuff, it's accessible and very easy to kind of get in and play around with. So I think it's cool stuff.
All right, last question before I get you out of here. Let's do it. Let's talk overall about the Reds. Obviously, not where any of us were hoping this year. Highest expectations in quite a while. I mean, outside of the 2020 season. How much hope do you still have left in the tank, Mitch?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, I can't help myself from looking at the wild card standings, and the number is still in single digits. It's a number that, like, we would be optimistic about if we saw it in August. So why can't we have a little faith in May, you know? Like, it's not some unsalvageable hole that they've dug themselves into. It's just tiring digging out of these holes every single season. And I really thought we weren't going to – I didn't think we were going down that route this year. They were 14-10, beating a good Phillies team. And then I don't know. I don't know what we did to the baseball gods after that point. But I don't know. The pitching looks good, knock on wood. I'm not going to say anything about any of their health because I don't want to jinx that either. But the pitching looks good. The peripherals look good. The hitting has to come around. Like, we've seen these guys play so much better than this. Jake Fraley's not going to hit one home run for the entire season. Will Benson's not going to strike out at a 40% rate. Jonathan India, you know, don't slug above 300, please. These guys have to be better than this. And some of them are. Tyler Stevenson's having a great season. I don't think he gets talked about enough. Ellie's, you know, a phenom. But I'll be tuned in, tagging along. I haven't lost full hope yet. You know, I'll probably get made fun of because I'll be sitting there talking about, you know, 10 games left in the season. They're only 9 games out of the wild card. There's still a chance. So I'll be around. You know, vibes are low. They've definitely been better, but, you know, it's Memorial Day. Season doesn't end now.
Well, let's hope they can get on a nice little run, get some vibes back up, get us at least feeling, you know, just get us enjoying baseball a little bit deeper into the season. And Mitch, when they do that, I'm going to look forward to having you back on the program.
There we go. We got a fun summer. We'll shoot for a fun summer.
All right. Take care, Mitch.
Yep. Thanks, Nick.
All right, well, as is customary on Mondays, most of the Reds minor league affiliates were off, but the Arizona Complex League Reds were in action. They beat the ACL A's, the Athletics, 6-4. Last year's second-round pick, Sammy Stafura, hit a walk-off 3-run home run, his second home run of the season. On Saturday, he hit his first home run. It was actually an inside-the-park home run. This is a traditional home run out to center field. So shout-out to Sammy Stafura, who's off to an incredible start down at the Complex League. Shang-In Lin had a great day as well. He was 2-for-3 with a double and a walk. Lin now has a .513 on-base percentage. Jose Acuña is also on a rehab assignment out in Arizona. He threw 2 hitless innings with 3 strikeouts and a walk. Acuña's not allowed a run in either of his 2 rehab starts. Last season, Acuña had a 3.93 ERA and 100 innings at Dayton. Just 21 years old, he was the other piece along with the steal at Hector Rodriguez in the Reds' great heist of the Mets for Tyler Naquin. So hopefully Jose Acuña, I would assume, probably back to Dayton. Maybe he jumps up to Chattanooga, but certainly a pitcher to keep your eye on. Tomorrow at 6:35 p.m., Connor Phillips will be on the mound for the Louisville Bats. Phillips looking to get back on track. He's really struggled this year so far. An 8.29 ERA, 28 walks in 33 and two-thirds innings pitched. We told you yesterday about Dominic Pitelli reportedly being promoted all the way from low-A Daytona to double-A Chattanooga, skipping high-A Dayton. I also heard that Zach Maxwell is getting promoted to Louisville and Ruben Ibarra to Chattanooga. Maxwell, of course, the reliever at 23 years old, has a 1.23 ERA, 27 strikeouts in 14 and two-thirds innings pitched. I have to imagine if he pitches well in Louisville, he's going to be a real option for the big league club here soon. Ruben Ibarra, a fourth-round pick out of San Jose State in 2021. He got off to a really bad start this year, but hitting .344 OPS over 1,000 in May. Ibarra's a guy who's battled some injuries, but he certainly has paid his dues, spent all of 2022 and 2023 at Dayton. He's got some serious pop. Last year hit 18 home runs in 98 games, but just a .241 career minor league batting average. So congratulations to Dominic Pitelli, Zach Maxwell, and Ruben Ibarra. All right, well, the Reds, they'll be taking on the Padres. Padres 25-25. Been an up-and-down season for them. They were really hot coming into last week, but then they got swept at home by the Colorado Rockies. But then they turned around and went to Atlanta and took 2 of 3. Reds will fortunately miss Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish in the series. The Padres, they split a doubleheader in Atlanta on Monday. They needed 7 innings from their bullpen. Xander Bogaerts left game 1 with a shoulder injury, and he is officially day-to-day. Reds lost 2 of 3 a couple weeks ago in San Diego, only win being that incredible start from Nick Lodolo. Your starting pitching matchups for the series, Tuesday, 6:40 p.m., that's tonight. Andrew Abbott up against Joe Musgrove. More on that matchup in a minute. Wednesday will be a 6:40 start. Nick Martinez up against Michael King. Reds have officially announced Nick Martinez as the starting pitcher. Kind of feel like he probably should be have an opener. Seemed like it worked really well last time. We'll see if that is actually what they're doing, but that's the way they announced it. And then Thursday, 12:35, Frankie Montas against the knuckleballer Matt Waldron. For tonight's matchup, Musgrove will actually be activated off the IL prior to the game. He had been out with elbow inflammation. The last time Musgrove actually pitched was against the Reds back on May 1st when he allowed just 2 runs in 6 innings, no walks, and 9 strikeouts. Musgrove has a career 3.75 ERA against the Reds, but he does have a career 5.09 ERA in 5 games at Great America Ballpark. Active Reds, just 9-for-38. That's a .237 average. They got a .704 OPS against Musgrove. Spencer Steer has the lone Reds home run. Jamer Candelario is 3-for-8. India, 2-for-10 with a double. Ellie De La Cruz, 1-for-3 with a double. Andrew Abbott, he comes in with a stellar 3.06 ERA. He's coming off 7 innings of 1-run ball at the Diamondbacks his last time out. Abbott missed the Padres earlier this year, but last season, you might remember, Abbott threw 7 2/3 brilliant innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts against the Padres at Great America Ballpark. Ha-Sung Kim spoiled that outing with a home run with 2 outs in the 8th. So Abbott up against Musgrove Reds. Hopefully they can find a way to get back on track back at home. All right, well, we will be back, of course, Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube. Chuck Walter will be filling in for Trace Fowler. We'll be live around 9:10 p.m. Of course, if you missed that, we'll have a new episode in your podcast feed bright and early on Wednesday morning. Also, be sure to check out Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. They've changed up their format. It's more of a more casual roundtable style show. We've also got a couple of interns, certainly a good time, so be sure to check that out. Of course, Kenner and Kev, also 3 to 5 p.m. on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube as well. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, we do this every single day, recapping each and every single one of the Reds games. You could also leave us a 5-star review, but more importantly, tell the Reds fan about what we do here at Chatterbox Reds. Well, bet you have a fantastic Tuesday. Hope that you're able to get out to the ballpark this week, catch the Reds in action. We'll talk again soon. Go Reds.